Right, here we go. We left off last time on Daf Mem Hamed Aleph. So I just want to, I wanted to start by going through Tosfos, but we had sort of outlined the presentation, the Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, or the Machlokes Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam. So the question we were dealing with was the Mishnah's claim that if the non-Jews worship the mountain, then the mountain is not Asur Bahana, but that which is on the mountain, that sipui, the gold and silver on the mountain, is in fact usher. In fact, we were talking last week about worshipping, and I just happened to be reading an article in the Smithsonian about Mount Fuji, which is, in Japanese religion, for many, is actually kind of worshipped, the mountain itself. You look puzzled, Marshall, but you can go look it up. So the Tanakhama had said, and that's all we're dealing with for the moment, that there is no Isser Hanah on the mountain itself. The Isser Hanah is only going to be on the stuff that's on top of it. So there was at Rashi, there were two versions of Rashi. We skipped the one that was in parentheses, but Tosfos will present both. The question is, does the mountain itself have the status of an Avodah Zarah or not? And so the question is, why does the question matter? What is the issue? So there were a few questions that were raised. Number one is that the Tanakhama believes that the tzipui, the covering, the coating of the mountain itself becomes aser, which is characteristic of something that's avodah zarah. The original pasuk is by regular idols, lo sachmod kesef ezav aleihem lakach talach. Second consideration would be, what if somebody actually worships the mountain? Are they chayav misa? Is that an act of avodah zarah? So you might think, that would depend upon whether the mountain actually has the status of avodah zarah. Third question would be, if you, what's called tikrovas avodah zarah, if you slaughter an animal, normally, if you have an avodah zarah, so if you slaughter an animal, or you libate wine, or you do anything that's used, you do the service for the avodah zarah, the tikrovas avodah zarah, that which is used, is categorically aser. In fact, we haven't gotten to this point yet, but avodah zarah has bithel. If a guy wants to decommission his avodah zarah, it's no longer avodah zarah, it's motar bana. But tikrovas avodah zarah has no bithel. Once it's been used, nobody can do away with its status, it's aser bana, it has to be destroyed. So these are the kinds of issues that, presumably, although the Mishnah made it clear already, is the mountain Asur Bahana, right? The characteristic of something that's Avodah Zarah typically is that if it's been worshipped, it's Asur Bahana, that which is on it is Asur, that which is sacrificed to it, the Tikrovis, is Asur, and the person who worships it is Chayav Misa. That's what you would expect. Now, it happens to be that the data points here are mostly fixed, but unfortunately they're contradictory. The Mishnah makes clear, every opinion in the Mishnah, and I think nobody's going to dispute this, is that the mountain is motor bana. There's no isser, you want to go hiking on the mountain, as Rashi says, you want to mine minerals from the mountain, you want to plant on the mountain, that's fine. On the other hand, the Tanakhama also says that the tzipoy of the mountain is aser. The Gemara later on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph is going to state that if somebody worships the mountain, they're Chayav Misa, which suggests there is an Avodah Zarah. All that leaves is the question of Tikrovas Avodah Zarah. What is the status of the Isser Hanah something that was actually used as part of the service? There is one more consideration which the Gemara is going to discuss, and it's not entirely clear, and it's not entirely clear exactly how it relates to this question. We mentioned this last week. Is what is the status of the mountain with respect to Hekdesh? What do I mean by that? Well, let's say someone goes ahead and they they quarry stones out of the mountain. They mine gold or silver out of the mountain that was worshipped. So the question is, so we know it's Mutar Bana. You're allowed to use it, you get whatever benefit you want from it, but are you allowed to use it in the Beis HaMikdash? And the parallel to this, the parallel situation, is that of an animal. If someone worships an animal, so we mentioned last week, and the Gemara will say later, Balei Chayim Anat Nesarim. So if someone worships a cow, as long as they didn't shech the cow, the cow was unchanged, so the cow is Mutar Bana, but you can't bring it as a carbon. Right? Now, why? So you could ask some of the same questions. Someone who worships a cow is Chayav Misa, but the cow is Motar Bahana. But in this case, it's Asur LaGavoa. You cannot use it as a carbon. Now, that could be either because the cow is an Avodah Zarah, but it has certain exceptions, or it could be, even though it's not an Avodah Zarah, but it's considered Ma'us LaGavoa. It's repugnant. It's repulsive. It's true that it's technically not Avodah Zarah, that it's not Asur Bahana, but it's, as the Gemara uses the Pasuk from Malachi frequently, Hakriveun Ol Lefechasecha. Would you bring it to your satrap? Would you bring it to the governor as a gift? No. There's certain things that might, technically meet the requirements, but it's pastnished. It's not nice. It's disgusting. So anyway, so those were basically the issues that should depend upon or relate to the question of whether the har itself is an Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos begins on the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Right, the Mishnah had quoted the Tanakhama's opinion that when people worship, Nachrim worship the Harim and the Gvos, they are Mutter, but that which is on them is Asur. So now, Tosfos quotes Rashi. Perush Rashi, Beferush Acherim, Vizel Lashono. There are two Lashonos in Rashi. We have sort of part of one, not the whole thing, I think. And we have the whole one, but the second Lashon, not the one that Tosfos is quoting now, we have a fragment in our Rashi. So Tosfos says the following, quoting Rashi, Hein mutarim, heharim atzma amutarim lizria, vilach tov avana mehem. So you can plant them, you can mine, you can quarry stones from it, dimechubar lo mitzar. That which is attached to the ground is not asur. Kididarish le Rabbi Yosei Galili, me Eloheim ala harim, velo heharim Eloheim. So Rashi here, Tosfos quoting what we have in Rashi, uses the drush of Rabbi Yosei HaGalili to explain the opinion even of the Tanakhama. In other words, the Gemara is going to have two possibilities. We looked at one last week as to what are Rabbi Yosei HaGalili and the Tanakhama arguing about. And as we pointed out, it's possible the simple reading of the Mishnah is that maybe they're not arguing. The Tanakhama just states the din, that when the non-Jews worship the mountains, they're not Asav HaNoah. And Rabbi Yosei HaGalili is providing the reason. He says, Es Eloheihem al Heharim Haramim Val HaGvaos, Eloheim al Haharim Velo HaHarim Eloheim. They're gods that are on the mountains, but not the mountains that are their gods. The mountains that are their gods, you don't have to destroy, because they're not Asav HaNoah. They're gods that they place on the mountains, those you have to destroy. So Rashi just quotes the reasoning, or the source that Rabbi Yosei HaGalili provides to explain why the Tanakhama believes that the mountains themselves do not become prohibited, even though they are worshipped. So now, Tosfos continues, quoting Rashi, Umashe Haleim, that which is on the mountains, Kegonim Tzipum Bechesev Ezahav, Asurim, Shenemar Lo Sachmo Kesazav Begomer. So now Rashi has to explain, why is it that the tzipoy on the mountain is Asur Banah? So he said, V'afalgav di'inhu lav avodas kochavim mikru, even though the mountains are not called Avodah Zarah, they aren't Avodah Zarah, velo mitziru, and they're not prohibited by Hanah, you can still get Hanah from the mountains, nonetheless, gzeras hakasuv hi, shehei tolu shalem, ketolu shashar avodas kochavim. It's a gzeras hakasuv, it's an exception. The Torah said that which is on the mountains, even though the mountain itself is not Avodah Zarah, that the decorations, the noi, the tzipoy, the covering, so that's Asur Banah. Dechsiv lo sachmo kesef ezahav aleihem al kol mashem ov demashma. It doesn't matter when the Torah says you shouldn't desire the gold and silver, which is aleihem, referring to the non-Jews' objects of worship. So Tosfos says it sounds like anything they worship. It doesn't have to be technically Avodah Zarah. Meaning, it doesn't have to, the object doesn't have to be labeled as an object of Avodah Zarah. We have no choice but to accept that it's at the mountain is not actually called an Avodah Zarah. In other words, it's not an Avodah Zarah, but it happens to be Mutar B'Hanah. It's not an Avodah Zarah. How did you know that? Damrinan Bar Shochet, Rashi quoted this all. Hada Amar Lahar, Hada Amar Lagada Dahar. The Gemara in Chulin distinguished between two situations. When a Nachri Shechts, when someone, it doesn't mean Nachri, Shechts an animal for l'shem something, if he shechs it l'shem hahar, the Gemara says it's mutar b'hana. It's mutar, if it's a Jew doing mutar b'achila. If he shechs it l'gada dahar, gada is the sar, the demon, the angel of the mountain, so then it's asur b'hana. Why? So it would seem because the angel, worshipping the angel, worshipping the demon, the angel of the demon is an Avodah Zarah. The mountain is not an Avodah Zarah. So when you shecht it l'shem hahar, The animal's mutter, because it's not tikro, if it's not, if the mountain is not Avodah Zarah, then the animal you shechted is not tikro ves Avodah Zarah. If you shechted it l'shem gada dahar, whatever that demon is, so just as the demon is Avodah Zarah, so the animal's also tikro ves Avodah Zarah, and it is prohibited in Hana. Now, Tosfos now says, quoting Rashi still, v'hadi tanya l'kamon v'ovdehem b'sayif, the Gemara adaf later, it's going to say that if a goy, or anybody, a Jew also, worships the har, that it's asur b'hana, that he's chaybis, excuse me. So, mishum haytaimahu, it's the same reason. The afal gav v'lav avodas kochavim inhu l'inyan itzurei. Even though, technically speaking, the har is not avodah zarah, nonetheless, ovdehem miha avodas kochavim karluhu, the people worshipping it, they are idolaters. Ulavodas kochav mechavni. Their intent is in fact for avodah zarah. And Tosos adds in the and Bach adds in the correction. Uvetmura moki la lahay lo sachmor abalechayim dahavi adumya demechubar. Points out that the Gemara in Tzmura, in discussing the Isser Hanah of Avodah Zarah and of the Tzipoy, applies the Tzipoy, not the way it's applied to here, to the Har, but it's applied to a Behema as well, which is the same thing as Mechubar, meaning you worship a Behema, the Behema is Mutar Bahana, but the Tzipoy on top of the Behema is Aser Bahana. The conclusion would be, what Tosu seems to be suggesting, is the Behema is not an Avodah Zarah, because Balei Chaim are not Avodah Zarah. Nonetheless, the Tzipoy on top of it would in fact be prohibited, just like it is by the mountain, that even though the mountain itself is not an Avodah Zarah, the Gzeiras HaKosev is the Tzipoy on top of anything that that somebody worships, even if it's not technically an Avodah Zarah, is Aser B'Hanah. That's what Adkan Lashono, that's what Rashi said. Marshall?
So, just a question. So, I mean, the analytic framework appears to continue to be that essentially the natural landscape itself cannot be turned into Avodah Zarah Mamash.
Right.
But does any of the Rishonim Rahonim draw a distinction between actually worshipping the mountain and considering the mountain a holy place? Because, you know, Judaism also has a concept of places that are more holy, and it's not Avodah Zarah Mamash.
Right,
you're
right.
Not like, you know, this mountain is a god, but the question is, does having it be thought of as a holy place give it the same status as an attempt to worship?
So I think the answer to that question is, I don't know if it's explicitly articulated, but I think there's a Tosfos on this Amud that implies, quoting Yerushalmi, that recognizes the distinction. Note that Rabbi Akiva said that in any place where you find a high mountain and shady trees, assume that's Avodah Zarah's ass. So the Yerushalmi asks the question, what about the Beis HaBechira? What about the Beis HaMikdash? Right, so and the point is that, and well, what is the Beis HaMikdash?
Now you're like the special place in the forest where you used to go and feel or Chodi HaMagel, and there are lots of places.
Correct. So, right, so I think it's very, I think Chazal very clearly understand, Rabbi Akiva's statement in itself was that, right? Rabbi Akiva was saying, assume Rabbi Akiva wasn't saying the mountain's Aser B'Hanah, Rabbi Akiva's saying is that it's not that they're worshipping the mountain, it's the mountain's a holy place where they worship their Avodah Zarah. But I think the Yerushalmi's question about the Beis HaMikdash is the same thing. We would say the Beis HaMikdash is a holy, the place is holy, you know, it's terra sancta, but it's not, nobody worships, you know, yeah. So I think that that distinction would easily have been recognized. I would say it's really encapsulated in the Mishnah later. The Mishnah is going to talk about three kinds of batim, three kinds of houses with respect to Avodah Zarah and the Isser Hanah. And one of them, you know, it's one case they worship the house. In a different case, they just bring their Avodah Zarah into the house. And the difference between them is the house becomes Aser B'Hanah permanently, whereas when they bring the Avodah Zarah in, as long as the Avodah Zarah is there, it's Aser B'Hanah, but once they take the Avodah Zarah out, the house is no longer Aser B'Hanah. And I don't think that's not mitzad bittel. It's not that when the Avodah Zarah was there, the house was Avodah Zarah also, but now when he takes the out, he's being mevatel the house. No, it just means that when the place is being used for that, it may be Aser to benefit from that place, but it's not that the place itself
right,
is Avodah Zarah.
That's totally analytically different, right? In other words, they just happen to bring the stuff into the house, versus this is an inherently holy place.
Right, okay, that's true, but I think that being inherent, what, again, I would say being inherently holy, what does that mean? Right? If the object itself is not venerable, if it's a place where you can go speak to God more closely, then that is really fundamentally, no, l'havdil, no different than the Beis HaBechira. Right, in other words, and that's not Avodah Zarah. Right, that's a place that's special to go to worship Avodah Zarah. But I would argue that in some ways the house, the way Chazal are treating the house when the Avodah Zarah is there, in some ways, is similar. Right? It's saying that when the Avodah Zarah is there, that's the place to go, that's the building to go worship Avodah Zarah. It's not, in other words, it's not permanent. I understand that. But I think fundamentally speaking, it wouldn't be any different. In other words, if they built a house on top of this mountain, but they didn't worship the house, in it they worshipped the Zarah, I'd imagine once they removed the Avodah Zarah, the same din should apply. The fact that it's in a holy place, I'm not sure that necessarily matters.
But Evan Ashtia.
Yeah?
That's worship by the Muslims.
Is it? I don't think they worship the stone.
Yes, they do. And there's the
cave they worship
of souls
at the stone.
No, there's the Cave of Souls underneath. They actually worship the stone.
Okay, I'm not. I know there's a debate. Some of the Rishonim assumed there's a famous tshuva of the is it the Radvaz or the Rivash? Somebody who assume that Muslims worship the Avodah Zarah, but that seems to be generally not assumed. Assume they do not worship, venerate objects. They serve the same monotheistic God.
Would this apply now going into a church, say in the Vatican, that's no longer used for services, therefore it would not be considered Makom Kadosh?
So the truth is, a decommissioned church that's never used might be mutter to enter, and it might be mutter b'hana. But if it's ever used, then it's going to be, putting aside, assuming that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, the way most Rishonim and Poskim assume, so the answer is it would be Aser. But once it's been, the example I've often given is the cloisters. Right? The cloisters are basically pieces of various monasteries that have been taken apart. It's not used anymore. It was from places that were destroyed. So it's mutter to enter there. There shouldn't be any question there, because that's batel. But as long as it's still sometimes used, so then it retains its status. Okay. So that was Tosus quotes Rashi. So now on the fourth, the last very narrow line, the Hiksha Rabbeinu Tam lepeirush zeh. Rabbeinu Tam was bothered. He said, "Dechaven dalo mikri avodas kolchavim, since it's not called avodah zara, and tikrovtan muteras, and the tikroves, that which you sacrifice to it is mutar. Imkein amaye onshu ovdehem sayif. Why should the worshippers be high of the death penalty? Why should be high of the sword?" That's not called worshiping other gods. So it's a question that's kind of hard to fathom, as we mentioned last time. You know, as my children might call it might be an epic fail. You tried to worship an Avodah Zarah and it wasn't Avodah Zarah, but you were worshiping a foreign entity. You were, in effect, denying God. Which is really the essence of Avodah Zarah. Even as I said last week, Mekablo Beloa, even if you accept the Avodah Zarah as a god without slaughtering to it, without libating to it, you're also Chayiv Misa. So why should this, just because you failed and you're not even good at worshipping Avodah Zarah. You picked an object that you can't even make into an Avodah Zarah. But nonetheless, you worshipped it, you attributed powers to this facet of nature, but Rabbeinu Tam somehow thought that if it's not literally an Avodah Zarah, if it doesn't have it's very brisk or a very conceptual view, that if it doesn't have Shem Avodah Zarah, you can't worship it. I mean, you know, again, we don't normally, not normally we paskin halacha, but you imagine defending yourself to the Ribbono Shalom, well, I'm sorry, I didn't worship Avodah Zarah because technically the heart wasn't, like, what kind of a, that's why the Rishonim reject Rabbeinu Tam. But Rabbeinu Tam was very bothered by this question. He thought if it doesn't have Shem Avodah Zarah, then it can't be, you can't be Chayiv Misa for worshipping it. So Rabbeinu Tam says, L'chein nir Rabbeinu Tam, devadai avodas kochavim mikru. It's definitely avodas kochavim. V'tikrov tam is asura. And a tikrov es brought to the mountain is asura. Now, what Rabbeinu Tam is going to, it's not addressed quite as explicitly until Tosus attacks Rabbeinu Tam. But the problem with Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbeinu Tam could explain a lot of things nicely. He can explain why the person gets Misa. He can explain why the tzipui on top of the mountain is Aser Bana, because the mountain is Avodah Zarah. And he can explain what he doesn't explain, though, and he can explain the reason why the mountain is Mutar Bana is because of Xeris HaKasav. He was going to flip it. But he says the Tikrovis is Aser, which sounds very nice, and it makes a lot of sense, except for this one problem. It's against the Gemara in Chulin that Rashi had just quoted. Right? The Gemara in Chulin says that someone who slaughters the animal, the shame, Gada Dahar, is the behemoth's asur. He shechted it for the demon of the mountain, but if he shechs it l'shem hahar, the Gemara says it's mutar. So the Gemara says that tikroves avodah zarah, when it's a har, is not tikroves, it's mutar bana. So how can Rabbeinu Tam say tikrov tanasura? But he doesn't actually explain, I think, explicitly here, but when Tosos attacks Rabbeinu Tam, he's going to quote what Rabbeinu Tam's explanation was. So Rabbeinu Tam is going to explain the Gemara in Chulin differently, that somehow, if you really shechted L'Shem Ahar, making it a god, then it's also Aser Bana. But the Gemara is talking about something different. We'll see that in a little bit. So Tosa says, "V'lachach ovdeim b'sayif." That's why they get the death penalty. V'hod darshin and v'lo harim Eloheihem koi a'abed ta'abdun. In other words, that we darshin harim Eloheihem v'lo harim v'lo harim Eloheihem. It's talking about abed ta'abdun. In other words, it's not that it's not avodah zarah. And when the Mishnah says v'lo harim Eloheihem, it doesn't mean that the harim are not their gods. It just means that the beginning of the pasuk, which is abed ta'abdun, you have to destroy them. Klomar she'ein tzarech lakar harim, that you don't have to uproot the mountains. V'hadam rinan. Bashochet the chevan da amar lahar eno kare zivchem esim, Me'eino Osir Hainu Kishoshochet Rachok Min Ahar. He does quote it here. It's he's far away from the mountain. I'm not near the mountain. Shaz Einem Iskavin L'Shem Avodas Kochavim. What does that mean? In other words, if I'm far, I only have in mind to really worship the mountain if I'm right by the mountain. If I'm great, he doesn't. I don't know what a great distance. If I'm far away from the mountain, I'm here, and I sacrifice something to Mount Everest. I want to say I'm slaughtering the shame Mount Everest. So apparently that's pretty far away. That's not. I'm not really deifying Mount Everest. The Karav LePeirush Zeh, something similar to Rabbeinu Tam, Matzasi BeFeirush Acherim DeRashi. I found it in the second parish in Rashi. The Zeh Lashono. Umashalem kegonim tzipum zav v'chesef osur. Shenemar lo sachmar kesef v'zav alehem v'lokach tolach. V'af al gav de'inu lo mitzri. Even though they are not osur b'ana, the mountains, so why should the tzipui be prohibited? Gzeres ha-kosefu she'ha-horim v'gvo she'kar kolom ein bo koach la'osra. So notice what Rashi, in the second version of Rashi, what changes. What changes is, what was the Gzeres HaKasav? In other words, what's the norm? And what is the exception that the Pasuk is making? So in the first version of Rashi, the norm is that, of course, the mountain is Motar Bana, and the Tikroves is Motar. The exception is that the Tzipoy is prohibited, and that the one who serves it, the one who worships it, is Chayim Misa. So the Rabbeinu Tam basically said, no, the mountain is an Avodah Zarah, and the Tikroves is Asar, and the Tzipoy is Asar, and the person who serves it is Chayim Misa. The only question is, why is the mountain itself not Asar Bana? Because normally when you worship something, it becomes Asar Bana. The answer is, because it's Exeris HaKosov, Es Abed Ta'abedun, Es Elohim Alaharim, Velo Aharim Elohim. That you only have to destroy something that is detachable, something which is Karka Olam, which is part of the earth. They do not have the capacity, the power, to make it prohibited. Aval, avodas kochavim havu. It certainly is considered avodas kochavim. Kitolush, shoshar avodas kochavim. No different than any other avodas zara. V'teidalacha, the avodas kochavim mikri. You want to know how you know it's avodas zara? The had the tanya lakaman of them besayef. V'im lav avodas kochavim ninu of them amayne haragim. Okay, again, so he said that was where Rabbeinu Tam was so bothered by, and that's what he says. Not entirely persuasive. Okay, if you just skip a line to the end of Ad Kan Lashon, I'm going to leave out the last line in Rashi. Ulefize, there's one problem. Kosha Lari, and this is a little bit complicated. He has one problem. Midamrina Lekaman Bepirkin. The Gemara later had the following question. Let's take a moment just to turn the page for a second. Let's not lose where we are in Tosfos, but if you go to the bottom of Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the last line. Boi Rami Bar Chama. Right after the two dots, the fifth word. Boi Rami Bar Chama. Hamishtacha ve'lahar. If someone worships the mountain, Avonach Mahu Lamizbeach. Can you use the stones in that mountain to build into the Mizbeach? What is the question? The Gemara explains on the top of Amud Beis. Yesh nevad b'mechubar eitzel gavoa. O ein nevad b'mechubar eitzel gavoa. Right? We mentioned before, an animal, if I worship an animal, the animal is motar bana, but you can't bring it as a carbon. So if I worship the mountain is motar bana, but can I use the stones in the Mizbeach? Okay. And then, Imtim Salomar, this part is not relevant so much now, but Imtim Salomar Yesh Nevad B'Mechubar Eitzel Gavoa Machshirei Karban K'Karban Damu Olo. There's a second question. Even assuming that you can have such a concept of Nevad by Mechubar, just like you have it by a Baal Chai, and say that you want to say that just as a Baal Chai, even though it doesn't become Asur B'Hana, but if it is worshipped, it can't be used as a Karban. So even if you want to say that the same thing holds true in principle by Hekdesh, what about if it's not actually a carbon? It's not actually the sacrifice. It's not part of the worship. It's just a tool. It's machshirei carbon. Let's say like the mizbeach, right? The mizbeach is not part of the sacrifice, but in order to bring a carbon, you need the mizbeach. You need a place to throw the blood. You need a place to burn the chaylev, the fats, and whatever else gets burned. So the question is, even though we know that nevad, if you serve an animal, you can't bring that as a carbon, even if in principle yesh nevad lagavoa, what about if it's not actually the carbon itself? So that was the Gemara. That was Rami Bar Chama's question. So now Rava responds. It's not Rava's response. Tosis is quoting the response to Rava. Rava says the following: Kal v'chomer uma esnan shemutar betalush lehedyot aser b'mechubar lagavoa. So Rava invokes the din of Esnan Zona Amechir Kelev. In Parshas Kisetze, the Torah says that you're not allowed to bring Esnan Zona and Mechir Kelev Beis Hashem Elokecha L'chol Neder. What is Esnan Zona? Esnan Zona is the hire of a harlot. The way Chazal understood it, a zona is a very technical definition. It doesn't mean a prostitute on the street. It means a woman with whom a person theoretically could never have kiddushin. It means one of the arayas. And if one hired an erva and paid her hire, then that which was given is asur lagavo. You cannot use it as a karban. What is Mechir Kelev? Chazal understand that it's if you have a dangerous dog and someone sells it, so you're not supposed to sell dangerous dogs, you're not supposed to keep dangerous dogs. So Mechir Kelev is the sale. If you sell an animal, a dog that's dangerous, so that money can't be used as a carbon either. I think Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, if I'm not mistaken, suggests that a Kelev, actually the pshat, refers to a male prostitute, which would fit the pattern of Esnan Zona. But that's not how the halacha understands Mechir Kelev. Is literally, you know, the price, the sale price for a dog. And as I understand, it means a dangerous animal. Okay, that's an important lesson. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to bring Esnan Zona or Mechir Kelev Beis Hashem El Kecha L'chol Neder. Now, it doesn't say what happens if, now typically, what might are you given the Zona as her hire? Well, if you think to Chumash, what's the one case we know what the Zona was paid for her services? A Gidi, right? You give her a goat. So you can't bring that goat as a carbon. The question is, what would the din be if he gave her a house? You know, he gave her a quarry, he gave her stones, he gave her a piece of land, and you want to now do the very same thing. So the Gemara right now assumes, the Torah doesn't spell out what qualifies as Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev. It doesn't talk about Talush versus Mechubar. But right now, Rava's assuming that since the Torah doesn't say anything one way or the other, everything is prohibited like Avo as Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev. So if he gave her, you know, a piece of land, then the Mithiros that were taken out of that land, you know, or, you know, would not be Mutter. Let's say you grew wheat on the land, right? You couldn't bring that wheat. Well, there's a complicated part about that because you grind up the wheat and you change it. But, you know, according to Beishama, you wouldn't, that Shinoi doesn't matter. You cannot bring that wheat as a carbon. It's assumed. It's not explicit, right? You could say the contrary. You could say Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev only applies by Talush. It doesn't apply by Mechubar. But right now, that's what Rav is assuming. So, Kal b'chomer, Uma Esnan Shemotar B'Talush Lehedyot, Aser B'Mechubar L'Gavoa, Dichsiv Lo Savi Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev, Lo Shna Talush V'Lo Shna Mechubar. The Torah doesn't distinguish. Nevad She Aser B'Talush Lehedyot, if you worship not an animal, but you worship an object, right, which is detached from the ground, then even a private hedgeot cannot get hanah from it. It becomes asur. Eino din sha'asur b'mechubar l'gavoa. Certainly then, nevad is, the point is, nevad is worse than Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev. Why? Because Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev is always mutter for you to get hanah. You just can't bring it as a carbon. Nevad is sometimes asur b'hanah for you. So if nevad is asur b'hanah, sometimes it's asur l'hedyot. Certainly, it shouldn't be mutter l'gavoa. So even in a case where it happens to be mutter l'hedyot, even if it's the mechubar l'karka, you worship the har, still the stones should not be permissible to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Rava said. So amalei Rav Huna b'reid Rabbi Yeshua l'Rava, O chiluf, who says that that's the correct direction in which to draw the inference? And now he's going to assume the following. The Torah never says that Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev applies to Mechubar. Maybe it doesn't. So why don't we say the following? Ma nevad she'asur b'talosh etzel hedyot, mutter b'mechubar l'gavoa. So by nevad, even though talosh is asur b'hanah even to a hedyot, nonetheless, when it's Mechubar, it might be mutter, we don't know, but it might be mutter l'gavoa. It could very well be. Why? Because the Torah shenemar, Eloheim alaharim, Eloheim alaheim, loshna lehedyot, veloshna l'gavoa. The very same inference you wanted to use to say, Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev applies even to Mechubar. Why? There was no inference, it was just that the Torah didn't distinguish. So I'll tell you in reverse. Nevad, by Mechubar, the Torah says it's mutter b'hana, Eloheim alaharim, Eloheim alaheim, doesn't say that it's a difference between hedyot and gavoa. So I'll make the following argument, that adarabah, the contrary, if nevad, which is more chomer than esnan, and mechir, why? Because sometimes it's asur lehedyot. And nonetheless, it is mutter lagavoa when it's part of the ground, when it's mechubar. So then, esnan, shemutter betalush lehedyot, esnan, which is always mutter to a hedyot, it's only asur lagavoa, eino din shemutter b'mechubar lagavoa. Okay, that was what the Gemara said. That's what Huna Rebbe Yeshua responded to Rav. And as you can't really tell, So now, that seems to be pretty straightforward on the surface. So Tosis is going to analyze very carefully. Tosis says the following. Ulefize, we're now, again, seven lines before the lines get really wide in Tosis. Ulefize koshalari, midamrinan lekaba mepirkin. Amar le ravhuna beredir avishur lerava. O chiluf. Uman nevad she'aser betalish lehedyot muta b'mechubu lagavoa shenemer Elohim alaharim alaharim Elohim lo shenahedyot v'lo shenal lagavoa. That was what the Gemara said. If you want to say that the har is actually called, it's labeled avodah zara. Hechi diek the shari lagavoa. How did the Gemara even make the inference? The Gemara said the Torah says stam. How did the Gemara make the inference? How did the Gemara make the inference that it is mutar lagavoa? Imishum de neser lahedyot. If, why did the Gemara assume automatically? It assumed because the Torah said blanket. So if it's the fact that it's, we know it's certainly mutar lahedyot, you could allow to get hana from the mountains. Hare balei chayim ne'inan nesarim lahedyot. Va'afilu hochi asiri lagavoa. But what kind? Why would you even think that? In other words, on its own, just by the Torah telling us that the mountains are not asur b'hana when the goyim worship them, what gives you the right to assume that it's mutar lagavoa? After all, you know that if you worship an animal, it's asur lehedyot, but it's mutar lehedyot, but it's still asur lagavoa. So why would you assume, stam, without the Torah specifying, distinguishing one way or the other, being explicit, why would you assume automatically that the harim are mutar lagavoa? Because you know that a behema is mutar lehedyo, but asur lagavoa, because it's been worshipped. So why would you assume a mountain is any different? And the answer to the question, the simple answer to the question, would be, you know why the Gemara knew they were different? Because a behema is an avodah zarah. It's just that it's not balei chayim, not nesarim. But the har is not an avodah zarah. Therefore, in other words, what the Gemara understood, the gzeris, what the Tosuk is teaching us here, Elohim alaharim v'alaharim Elohim, the Gemara must have understood that that statement meant not that you don't have to destroy the mountains and just that they're not a sabana, but that the mountains are not avodah zarah, v'lo heharim Elohim. Not the way Rabbi Natan wanted to read, that the Torah was telling you that even though they're not avodah zarah, they're mutar bahana. No, the whole point is the only way the Gemara could have assumed by default from that pasuk, by the pasuk not distinguishing between hedyot and gavoa, the only way the Gemara could have made the leap from hedyot to gavoa, it was if it assumed that the mountain is actually not an avodah zarah. Then it's inconceivable. Once the Torah says it's not an avodah zarah, it's not an avodah zarah. But if in fact it is an avodah zarah, it's just the gzeris hakasav that it's a mutar b'hana, then on its own we would never have assumed that just because you and I can get hana from it, that you're allowed to bring it as a carbon, because we have an example of something like that, namely a behema, which is an avodah zarah, which is mutar for you and for me to benefit from, and nonetheless we can't bring it as a carbon. So the mere fact that the Gemara, that Rehuna Breid Yeshua could flip around on Rava and sort of challenge, in other words, say, let's read that pasuk broadly, only makes sense if the assumption is what the pasuk teaches us, is that the mountain is not called an avodah zarah. Otherwise, Rav Huna Breid Yeshua's response to Rava is nonsensical. That's what Tosu says. I have to say about Tosu's reading of the Gemara, I think it's a very good reading of the Gemara. I also have to say on my own, I would never have been astute enough to read the Gemara that carefully. But I think the reading of Tosu is actually a very, very, very sharp reading, but I think it's correct. Marshall?
Back on the other daf, of all of the partially tainted sources of money that you would want to say couldn't be used for a carbon, are Etnan, Zona, and Mechir Kelev kind of categorical, and then lots of other things flow from that, or is it literally only those three? In other words, why wouldn't, you know, selling a house without a parapet, you know, there are lots of types of behavior that Chazal would like to exclude. Of all the things in the world, why are these three?
So they're not the only ones. In other words, the notion of gezel, right, money which a carbon which is stolen is no good. And the sugya is a very, very complicated sugya. To what extent does acquiring legal title actually help? And as in a large part of the sugya of gezel ba'ola hinges upon the question of title and ownership in Kinyanim. But there are shittos within that that you might technically actually have been kone, but it's still ma'os lagavoa, right? You still can't bring it as a karban because of the status of sin. So there are other, not everything. In other words, not everything automatically taints it, but there are things beyond the category of nevad, eston, and mechir. And so even though the details, the devil's in the details, illicit acquisition of the karban can also invalidate it.
But I mean, these three, and I'll let it go after this, are almost uniquely random. I mean, Mechir Kelev, of all the things in the world you could say, this you can't use the proceeds to buy a karban for. Why, the, you know, why not? There was a shore that, you know, wasn't yet a muad, but it gored.
Oh. Nakhon is also no good. Shor Nakhon is also Pasul Agavela. Yeah. So, in fact, I would argue, even before you raise that particular one, that these three categories, the Mechir, Esnan, and the Avodah Zarah, represent the Gimel Averos. Avodah Zarah. Esnan is only by Arayos, mostly Arayos. And Mechir Kelev is about Nezikin and Shrichos Damim. So yes, you could. I never thought about it until you asked the question, but Nakhon falls under that category. Rovei Anirba also does. Right, a Ravan and Nirvan, that's Arayos. So yeah, it mostly seems to be centered around the big three, with Mamonos probably being the broadest one.
But nobody unpacks this anywhere, how this trifecta became...
It's not the kind of question that typically occupied halachists. It's the kind of thing you might find maybe in the, I don't know if you do, I don't know, I haven't read all the Mordechai Bukhim. It's the kind of thing you expect to find in Machshava, and in Midrash you don't expect to find it in halacha. Right? Halachists were classically concerned about sort of limiting the exact details of the categories. As you can see, the Gemara is playing with it, exactly where exactly are the lines, as will be the case in the sugya again of Gezel Ba'ola. But I think the kind of question of larger meaning is not always a question. Is not a question halachists usually engage in.
But the halachists would need it to know what's within the category.
Agree, right?
Like, for example, let's say that you open up a pizza shop that is in violation of Hasagas Kol, and you're closed down after a month and a half because it was the Therush Usher to open where you did. Could you use the proceeds from your 6 weeks of operations to buy karmanos?
Right, so the answer is probably yes, for multiple reasons. But that, again, that gets into the, you know, one might say that, you know, unfortunately, I think it would be true for many Jewish institutions, if they really looked really hard at where the money came from, we wouldn't have any Jewish institutions, or very few of them, right? And so the question then becomes, how much, if someone is in a business, that there's often a lot of not good things in, to what extent do you say... You know, do you say, you know, how far are you going to do drishas hakiras? How much are you going to disqualify, right? And what happens when it's a business that's technically legal, but we would question its more the morality of the business, right? So it becomes, I think it's there is certainly a, I think that not in the technical realm, but I think let's say Jewish institutions have to think long and hard about those particular questions. I don't think they think very long and hard. That's just the realities of the world. It's easy for me to sit in the position I'm sitting to say it because it's not my responsibility to raise the money. But we probably don't think enough about it. But I think the halacha in its technical parameters has to draw a line particularly somewhere. The money has to be particularly tainted sort of intrinsically, not just sort of the means that you got it there. It reminds me a little bit of the question, a famous Yerushalmi, it could have been written by Reb Chaim, where the Yerushalmi observes that if you eat matzah gezula, you're not Yotzei on Pesach. But if you carry matzah on Shabbos from the Shusha Rabbim into your house and you eat the matzah, then it's mutar. So the Yerushalmi says, what's the difference between the two? Both cases it should be a mitzvah bab averus. The Yerushalmi answers, taman hi gufa avera. In other words, there's the classic chefza, the matzah gzula is a chefza shel avera, right? The matzah that you carry through Shusha Rabbim, you did an avera with it, iu gufa avera, but it's not that the matzah is inherently tainted. So it's always kind of hard to say. One is, you know, theft, the money is absolutely tainted. If I engage in asagas gavul, so I'm not supposed to open the business there. I'm not exactly stealing your money. People come in and they give me money, they choose to buy my pizza as opposed to your pizza. And I think, by the way, it's one of the questions that may underlie the machlokas hamaraim. What is the din? I think there's a machlokas about ribis that is given voluntarily. In other words, if interest is paid voluntarily, is that I think there's a machlokas about tziotza b'dayanim or not. I think we paskin it is, but the question is, what would the view that would say that you can't collect in a basin? Would say the person gave it willingly. The view that says that it's no good, it's yotze b'dayanim, you can collect it against, even though he gave it willingly, is because the money is inherently tainted. It's a question of how to look at ribbis. So I think that's always a question of trying to decide, you know, how, when is the object or the material inherently tainted, and when is it a little bit too, you know, yes, it wasn't a good thing. You came into it by not ideal means, and even less than not ideal means, but nonetheless, the money itself doesn't have officially a taint. So, okay. So anyway, So Tosros then concludes. The ode, the last narrow line, the ode kasha masha pirish rabbeinu tam, the hada eno kare zivchei mesim hecha sheshochet lahar kevan shurachok min ahar ktas, because you're a little bit far away from the mountain. What kind of an answer is that? Right? I don't know. When you worship the demon of the har, how far away is the demon? I don't know where the demon is. Is he close by or is he miles away? Right? You know, if you're a god, you know, if a person has a god who, I don't know, who has a long beard and he lives, you know, 20,000 miles away somewhere on, you know, he lives on the other side of the moon where you can't see him, right? You say that if he worships that god, well, sorry, that's not worshiping a god because it's far away, right? When the Goyim worship the sun and the moon and the stars, those are close by, right? So what does it mean? I don't understand what Rabbeinu Tam, what that sheet is. Okay. The im kain miskaven who love others kochavim. That's enough. Lachein nira l'rik lashon rishon shel Rashi. The vaday love others kochavim. The first version of Rashi, it's not an avodah zarah. The mashma bashochet. The tekrov tan muteres. The tekroves is mutter. That's why if you shochet lahar, the behemah is mutter. V'lodami lepaor dechsive vayochlu zivich emesim da hud halush hava. The source for it's strange enough. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. It's in one of these retellings, these narratives in Tehillim. There are a few chapters in Tehillim that sort of retell Jewish history, meaning the story. There are a couple of them that deal with selections from the plagues, you might call it.
In the 70s and
80s. There, and this, I thought, was Kuvah, but I could be wrong. This could be the earlier one also. But yeah, there are like two or three of them. It says, Vayochlu zivchei mesim. So that's by Pe'or. And what was Pe'or? Pe'or was Talush. So that's where zivchei mesim has to be. In other words, there's no precedent by the pasuk of Tzipoy. Tzipoy is aser because it says lo sachmo kesef ezav aleihem. That's mashma anything they worship. But by the source that tikrovus avodah zarah is aser is vayochlu zivchei mesim. Just like a mes is aser bana, so to the zevach for avodah zarah is aser bana. Nonetheless, that's only stated in the context of peor, and peor was betalush. V'hashtinami nicha d'hadar mina l'kaman d'sheru l'gavoa. That would explain the Gemara in Daf Mem Vav Mem Beis, where Rav Huna Braid Rabbi Yeshua turned around to Rava and said, wait, why don't we assume that when the Torah permits a mountain, the Nimchubar, Bahana, it permits it both Lehedyot and Lagavoa. Why would you assume that? The answer is because the mountain, as opposed to an animal, the mountain is not Avodah Zarah, even when they worship it. An animal is Avodah Zarah when they worship it, but it's not Aser Bana. So by an animal, we understand why it's Mutar Lehedyot, but it's also Lagavoa, because it is not Avodah Zarah, whereas the mountain is not Avodah Zarah at all, and therefore, it is. If the Torah doesn't make any distinction between Hedyot and Gavoa, you could assume if it's Mutar Lehedyot, it's also Mutar Lagavoa. That would explain his response. Okay. Fine. So that is really this machlokas stands. The only, again, after all this, you know, conceptually it matters a bit, but at the end of the day, the primary nafkamina is whether or not the tikroves is asur for the har. Hashochet lahar, if he really intended to make the har of avodah zarah, according to Rabbi Tam, it's asur banar. According to Rashi, it's mutar banar. It's not meisim b'chol yom, that's for sure. But nonetheless, that would be sort of the only nafkamina, the only practical difference between Rashi and Rabbi Tam. Okay.
You can take it further. The people say who worship the earth. So if they worship the earth, then anything that's going out of the earth might be asur l'takrovas.
Right. So that's I mentioned this last week, which is the mischief one could. Why is it that gavoa? Why is it that mechubar is mutar b'hana? So I said because otherwise some wise guy can decide. I'm going to worship every piece. There are people who I say worship a land in the land of Israel. Some people in the extreme have made it to avodah zarah. Whatever. One doesn't need to take any political stance to recognize that. But if some clever guy says, I got a great scheme. I'm going to worship this mountain, I'm going to worship this field, this mountain, that field, and so on. Now all of Eretz Yisrael is Aser Bana, right? So no Jews can live there, right? Okay. The Turi Karta fellow figured that was the solution to the problem, right? That's how we do away with it, at least for the from Jews. So of course it's ridiculous. You can't have, for many, many reasons, firstly, Ein Adam Osa Davar Shein Shor, but it's ridiculous to assume that people can make Karka Olam Aser. You just can't have such a thing. It seems to be, logically intuitive. But you're pointing out a step further. If what happens if people are going to worship, the all sorts of ground, you're going to say the stuff that grows there is Aser? I mean, the answer is one could have said that the answer is yes. And the only reason why it's not a practical problem is because, as a general rule, Ein Adam Osa Davar Shein Shalom. In other words, I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that if I worship my behema, it's Aser Lagavoa. If you worship my behema, I don't think it's Aser Lagavoa. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's not, because Ein Adam Osa Davar Shein Shalom. Right? When I worship it, it's Mutar Lehedyot, because it's Gzeiras HaKasav, Balei Chayim are not Aser. But it's still Avodah Zarah, and it's still Aser Lagavoa. But you can't make my behema Aser Lagavoa, right? You can, again, imagine the mischief somebody could wreak havoc there. I'll take your entire herd, I'm going to worship your herd, and now all of a sudden you can't sell them for Karbana. That's crazy, right? I can worship my animals. If I buy the animals, fine. So I do think that it does sort of fit in with a broader issue that you're going to make everything awesome because some crazy person decides he wants to worship the karka. If you want to make trouble, you have to do what that guy I mentioned last week. The guy got thrown out of yeshiva, and he went to all the shasim, and he wrote words on the side, right? Hoping that it would create problems on Shabbos, because, there's a whole machlokus about this question when you have words written on the margin, whether or not you can open the book on Shabbos, because when you open the book, you're erasing the letters. Whatever. So they went and asked the shayla, they were told it was mutter. But again, you have to admire the cleverness, but anyway. All right.
So an asherah is in a separate category because it's a special...
So we're going to now turn our attention to asherah. Now that we've dealt with the broader category, so we're going to start the Gemara in a moment. We actually looked at the beginning, or mentioned the beginning. But now the question is as follows. We know that the harem are mutter, but we also know that there's such a thing as an asherah. And we're told that we have to burn the asherah trees. We have to burn the asherah trees. So the question is... Just comment there about your question earlier, Marshall. The etymology of Asherah is somewhat interesting. It would seem, not 100% clear, but if my recollection from graduate school many, many, many years ago was correct, Professor Baruch Levine suggested, and this may be accepted, I don't know, the word Asherah is in fact the same word as the Aramaic Asar, which means place. In other words, the Asherah was the place that they worshipped. The word asher, by the way, in Biblical Hebrew, I can show a few places in Chumash where the word asher itself means place. Ba'asher husham, probably, is one of those cases.
In the Bible, I thought that was from our Solvation.
What?
Asher husham.
Okay. Anyway, I think that would be kashtem husham. But anyway, so the question is, we know that an asherah in some capacity is aser. The question is, if it's karka olam, if it's part of the ground, how is it that became aser? So Rabbi Yossi HaGalili in the Mishnah was already sensitive to this issue, and he said the following, on the sixth line of the Mishnah, after I just told you that the mountains are not Avodah Zarah, umenet meima ashera asura, mipnei sheyesh ba tfisas yedei adam. Because it has a human hand involved in it, the chol sheyesh ba tfisas yedei adam aser. So the question is, what does Tfisas Adam mean? So the Gemara is going to talk about this this question a little bit, but suffice it to say that everybody would agree then, based upon this formulation, is if you had a tree that grew on its own and has been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. It grew from seeds that fell from another tree. No human being planted it. Everybody is going to agree that that tree should have the same status as the har, mean, that's called karka olam. Just because it sticks out of the ground doesn't matter, because it has no tfisas adam. The question would be as follows. What happens if you planted a seed in the ground? You planted a garin, and that grew into a tree. What would the status there be? So that would seem to be, it would seem to be that if you plant a garin and it grows into a tree, that's called tfisas yidei adam. So now the question would be, the Gemara is going to have to explore the following. What happens if you have tfisas yidei adam, but when adam is involved, he has no intention for avodah zarah? The guy is a nice, frum guy, he plants some trees, and later he goes off the derech, decides he wants to worship avodah zarah, and he makes them into asherah trees, he worships them. Do they now become aser? Now, on the one hand, there is tfisas yidei adam involved. Human beings did create the trees. I mean, you know, even if only God can make a tree, nonetheless, human beings were involved in helping the process along. Or do you say that no, that when the tree was planted and it started growing on its own, it had no shame of avodah zarah, now it essentially becomes part of karka olam. When would it be aser? Only if when you planted it, you had in mind that this should be an avodah zarah tree. So that's what the Gemara is going to explore. The first item on the agenda, though, before we get there, is what exactly is the machlokas between Rav Yosei HaGalili and the Chachamim, and the Tanakhama, the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah began by the Tanakhama stating that the mountains are mutter, but the tzipoy, masha aleihem, is prohibited. Rav Yosei HaGalili provides a source. And then he just explains why is it that an asherah is, in fact, asura. Now, from a literary perspective in the Mishnah, there are two possibilities to explain what the machlokas is, and both of those are the choices that the Gemara is going to offer to us. On the one hand, the Tanakhama talks about the tzipoy, and it says that the tzipoy is aser. One could assume, perhaps, that that's what the machlokas is. The Tanakhama believes that the tzipoy is aser, and Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, who says nothing about it, says that the tzipoy is mutar. The second possibility is, what does Rabbi Yosef HaGalili talk about that the Tanakhama doesn't talk about? The Asherah. So maybe there's a machlokas in something having to do with Asherah. In other words, Rabbi Yosef says, if there's tfisas yidei adam, then an Asherah is Asura. The Tanakhama would say, either you don't need tfisas yidei adam, or even if you have tfisas yidei adam, sometimes the Asherah is still not prohibited. Right? Those are the two paths that could go down. So the Gemara begins as follows. Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, Hainu Tanakhama. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Amar Reish Lakish, Tzipui Har Kahar, Ika Benayu. Tanakhama Sabar, Tzipui Har Eino Kahar Umitzar. The Tanakhama believes that the Tzipui, the mountain, is not like the mountain. I mean, the mountain is Mutabana, but the Tzipui is Aser. And Rabbi Yosef HaGalili says, the Tzipui Har, Haray Hu Kahar, it has the same status. If you adopt this position, as I mentioned last week, then it almost could have been argued, almost, that maybe, there are two ways of seeing this, maybe the Machlokas Rabbi Yosef HaGalili and the Tanakhama is the Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, or Tosas Rabbeinu Tam. The Tanakhama believes that the Har is Avodah Zarah, even though it's not Aser Banah, and therefore the Tzipoy is Aser. And Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, who says that the Tzipoy is Mutar, is because he believes that even though that when they worship the Har does not become Avodah Zarah. In other words, you do away, if that were the case, according to Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, basically, the mountain is not Avodah Zarah at all, in the sense that it's Mutar Bahana, the Tzipoy is Mutar, the Tekrovis is Mutar. The only thing that's an issue, even for Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, is what happens if somebody worships the mountain. Now, the Brisa later says that Ovdam Basayef, maybe Rabbi Yosef HaGalili disagrees with that, or maybe he agrees with it. Maybe he agrees that for a person being chayv in Avodah Zarah, you don't actually have to succeed in worshipping Avodah Zarah. You just have to try. You just have to try. It's the inverse of Rahman Ali Babai. It all depends what's in your heart. Now, you don't have to read the Machlokas this way. You could say, like Rashi, like Tosos against Rabbeinu Tam, and know that everybody agrees. Everybody agrees that the Har is not Avodah Zarah, but the Zegzeiros, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, we understand that the Tekrovis is Mutar, the Tzipui is Mutar, it's the mountain is Mutar, everything makes sense. And the Tanakhama always agree, except for he has a Gzeiros HaKosov, as Rashi says, that the Tzipui HaHar is Aser because Lo Sachmo Kesav Azav Alehem Lekach Talach. So there are two ways to read the Gemara as to understanding at this stage of the Machlokas Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, what exactly is the root of the Machlokas. But this is the first approach in the Mishnah, or first approach of the Gemara in the Mishnah, by focusing on the Tanakhama statement about Masha Leim Asurim, and Rabbi Yosef HaGalili doesn't repeat that, so that is the Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef HaGalili. That's option number one. Option number two, Rav Sheshes Amar, the bottom line, the Chulei Alma Tzipoy Har Enokar. Everybody agrees that the Tzipoy of the mountain is not like the mountain, which means that the Tzipoy is Osir Bana. The Tanakhama mentioned Masha Alehem. Rabbi Yosef HaGalili didn't bother to repeat it, but he agrees with the Tanakhama. But if that's the case, V'hocha, Be'ilan Shenita'o L'Besof Avado Kamipalgi. This is a tree which was initially planted, not L'Shem Avodah Zarah. Rashi says, Shalom L'Shem Asherah. And in the end, he worshipped it. Tanakama Savar, Ilan Shinatal Lusof Avado Motor, Verbiose Hagalili Savar, Ilan Shinatal Lusof Avado Asr. In other words, the Tanakama, Rabbiose Hagalili said, Umin Ema Ashera Asura. The Tanakama said that a tree, once it's been planted, cannot become Asr Bahana because you worship it. Why? Because Harama Mutaram, Karka Olamis Motor, just the Tzipoy is Asr. Rabbiose Hagalili said, the mountain is Motor. But Neima Asherah Asura. Why is Asherah Asura? And he gives a reason, which means he an Asherah that the Tanakama held was Motar Bana. Rabbi Yosef HaGalili holds is Asur Bana. Now, obviously, the Tanakama doesn't believe there's no such thing as an Asherah that's Asura because there are Psukim that tell you that an Asherah is Asura. But nonetheless, the Tanakama as a more limited definition of what constitutes an asherah that is asur banar, an asherah that we are obligated to burn, to rip out of the ground. And Rabbi Yosef HaGalili has a more expansive definition, and the Gemara's choice of that is ilan shenetal of sof avado, meaning an ilan which has tfisa sidei adam, because a person planted it. Marshall?
So that's a short answer. So the Mishnah uses the language of tfisa yad, and the Gemara switches the language of shenatu. Is tfisa netal?
Yeah.
So,
it is Nita'o. That's not how we say it in the base Medrash typically. We say Shenato, but it's Nita'o. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Okay.
So the question is, are those actually the same things? Because when I was hearing Tfisa Yad, I was thinking about shaping, pruning, turning into forms.
So,
is it only planting?
So we're not. So I'm going to keep you in suspense. We're going to read Rashi now, but there's Machlokas Rashi and this Big Tosus precisely exactly how to define what is Tfisa Sidei Adam. Others, you're thinking that if you plant a seed in the ground, that's not called Tfisa Sidei Adam, even according to Rabbi Yosef HaGalili. You plant a garin in the ground, right? And, as opposed to if you put a tree in the ground and you trim it and you shape it and so on. So let's read Rashi, and I'll keep you in suspense till next week.
For this Machlokas, right? Because if it's only planting, then there's only one time your dot could matter, according to...
No, it could be multiple. No, it could be multiple. In other words, if you say, according to Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, when you put a seed in the ground, that's even though right now you don't have mind, that's called Tfisa Sidei Adam. I assume other stages, if you prune or things like that, it could also, in other words...
That's my point. In other words, if Tfisa Yad is only Nita'o, then there's only one juncture where your state of mind matters. If it's a broader category, then it could become an Asherah many times in the season.
Right, so I'm thinking actually Rashi and Tosus, what you're asking is relevant. Rashi and Tosus come at a different angle. In other words, is it called, what Tosus will say is that what Rabbi Yosef HaGalili would say is that if I take a shoot, I take a tree from somewhere, a branch, and I plant it in the ground here, I take an Ilan Amnotea right now, not L'Shem over the Zara, but later I now worship it, that's called Tfisa Sidei Adam. Why? Because I planted a tree. If I plant a seed in the ground, so that might not be called Tfisa Sidei Adam. I put a seed in the ground. The thing, it's like a Panim Chadashot Spalkan, it's a totally new thing. So that's what Rashi and Tosis are really going to focus on. Your question becomes sort of a question that the Mishnah already deals with later. A tree that I worship, might be that which grows from here on in becomes Asar, and the way you make it Motar Bana, when the guy abandons it, is you trim off that which grew. The new growth, and now you're back to what it was before. So let's finish actually the Gemara right now, just the next few lines. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know that that's what Rabbi Yosef HaGalili holds? Mimai! How do you, in other words, we could throw in 6 million different suggestions as to what the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef HaGalili are arguing about. Where do you see this in the Mishnah? The Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know? Midiktani Seifa, Mipnei Ma Ashera Asura, Mipnei Sheyesh Ba Tfisa Sidei Adam, Bechol Sheyesh Ba Tfisa Sidei Adam, Asur. V'chol sheyesh batfisas yide adam la suye mai, lav li suye ilan shenatol lebesof avada. And the Gemara accepts that. In other words, it seems to be here focused on sort of the extra language of the Mishnah. In other words, he should have just said, mimnei ma sheyer asura mimnei sheyesh batfisas yide adam, period. But he adds, v'chol sheyesh batfisas yide adam, asur. What is he adding in that sentence? It's a repetition. The answer is he's adding Ilan Shenital Basof Avado, that even though your action to make it Avod Zarah post dates when you actually had tfis on it, nonetheless, because you created the tree in the first place, therefore that's called having tfis Shidei Adam. And the Tanakhama would say that no, if when you planted the tree in the ground, it wasn't L'shem Avod Zarah at that point, then of course then nothing you do later changes that fact. So that's what the Gemara wants to suggest. And that's how the Gemara comes to suggesting that this is in fact the Machlokas Rabbi Yosei HaGalili and the Tanakhama.
So therefore what you're saying is really Kavona is the issue.
Kavana in the formative stages of the tree.
That's right.
Correct.
And it fits all through the pattern that Kavana becomes really the touchstone.
Right, right. I think that if you want to see sort of in the, I think the quintessential question of Kavana, I don't know the sugya well enough, but there's a sugya in Sanhedrin at Avdo Me'ava Omiyira. If someone worships Avodah Zarah, Me'ava Omiyira. And I think one of the Rishonim says, because, you know, he loves this woman, so she wants her, so he worships it. So the question basically we have there is that the Gemara asks it, or the Rishonim asks it, it's not really Avodah Zarah. In other words, going through the motions, you know, it's effectively Marasayan. I don't believe this is a god, but it makes her happy, so I do it. It makes him happy, so I do it, right? So that's not really Avodah Zarah. But Avodah Zarah is certainly enough. In other words, the same thing we saw early in the Masechta, and one of the Marasayan sugi, that you're not supposed to bend down to pick up, your money fell in front of Avodah Zarah, you're not supposed to bend down and pick it up. No one would say if you bend down and pick it up, and in the process you're physically going through the bowing motion, that's Oved Avodah Zarah. It's a Marasayan. Why not? The answer is because Avodah Zarah certainly requires kavana. Okay.
Would you have the example of the Christmas trees? Would they apply in any way here?
I don't think that they worship Christmas trees.
No, but I mean, well, if you planted pine trees with the idea of selling them, they're not worshipped as Avodah Zarah, but they represent.
So for our discussion of our sugya, the Elon has to be Nevad. I'm not advocating. I don't want to say. I think it's perfectly fine for Jews to run a Christmas tree business. You know, that's not as bad as selling all the matzah and the wine for the Eucharist, because that really is awesome. Okay, but no, but technically speaking, it doesn't fall into this, because I don't think the Christmas tree itself is worshipped. The children may worship the Christmas tree, but not in the same way we usually think of worship. Yes. Yes.
Right. So you got to destroy
everything,
including the trees.
Yes, but that's not there. It's not a function. I don't know if I don't know if the din applies to Mechubar LaKarka there. It would be. I'm just thinking now. In other words, there is an Isser b'mechubar by Ir Hanidachas. I don't know what the dinim are, but it's a pasuk. V'haisatel olam lo yibaneh ot. So there's a machlokis there, actually, hatanoim. I think in Sanhedrin, whether or not you can graze your animals there. But you can't build anything there. So I don't remember what the din is, how much of the mechubar you destroy the trees. But even if you do, that's not a function of the trees being worshipped. That's a function. In other words, the people worship the Zarah, and all of their possessions are destroyed, even though they didn't worship them. It's not midin avodah Zarah and Isarana, it's midin agzeris akasav, that everything in the Irani Dachas is asar. It's everything that was associated with these idolaters, right? Even if they didn't worship anything in that city, they worshipped some other avodah Zarah, but they all did it, everything in the city, all their possessions becomes asar.
Sociological.
Okay.